Good afternoon, everyone, and good morning for people from Americas. My name is Benedetta Legranzi. I'm the technical lead of the WHO Clean Care, Safer Care program focused on infection prevention and control. And I'm very pleased to be with you, our speaker, and Paul Weber today to inaugurate the 2014 free WHO teleclass series on infection control through Weber training. Today, the first speaker of this series is Dr. Walter Zinn from the University Hospitals of Geneva, part of the Infection Prevention and Control Unit led by Professor Didier Pittet in Geneva. As a background, he is specialized in pediatrics and infectious diseases. And as you may know from his publications, he conducted research in pediatric infectious diseases, infection control, in particular in pediatrics, HAIs surveillance, and several other topics. Over the last 3 years or so, he has coordinated efforts within a European multicenter study called PROHIBIT. The acronym stands for Prevention of Hospital Infections by Intervention and Training. This has been a very interesting project, which my colleague will explain into details in a minute. But a very important part of this project has been focused on reducing catheter-related bacteremia. Therefore, he will present on this topic today. The title of his presentation is Innovation and Implementation Strategic Approaches to Reduce Catheter-Related Bacteremia, the Results of a European Multicenter Study, PROHIBIT. So I give you the floor, Walter, and thank you very much for this presentation.
Thank you, Vendetta, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this subject. And hello, everybody. And I cannot see you, but apparently you are quite numerous. And I'm happy to share with you today the findings of PROHIBIT and some other projects I was and am involved in catheter-related bloodstream infection prevention. So the title, Innovation and Implementation Strategic Approaches to Reduce Catheter-Related Bacteremia, the results of the European Multicenter Study, PROHIBIT, you heard by Benedetta already, stands for Prevention of Hospital Infection by Intervention and Training. The second slide, this is the outline. I will talk, give you some background information shortly. Then I will talk about the Geneva RedCo CVC project, which is a little bit the base and the reason why we anticipated this catheter project within PROHIBIT. Then I will give you a short overview about the PROHIBIT project overall. And then I will specifically talk about the catheter project and the qualitative in-depth study that went with the catheter project within PROHIBIT before I come to a summary. Well, slide number three, background, let's start, then let's proceed to slide number four, the SENIC study. The SENIC, the study on the efficacy of nosocomial infection control, has been performed long ago. I mean, from today's perspective, it has been done in the 70s. It started in 1970 and lasted until 1975. It was a landmark study, and actually I think we can say today that it was really the foundation of modern infection control. It was a large study among several hundred, more than 300 U.S. hospitals, and the aim of the study was to test the effectiveness of introducing an infection control as compared to hospitals without infection control. And this slide shows you actually the difference between the first year and the last year of the studies, and compares in red the hospitals they did not introduce and implement an infection control. At that time, it was the idea of having an infection control nurse per 250 beds, and a physician trained in infection control, and having access to a laboratory equipment and performing a surveillance of healthcare-associated infections. So in red are the hospitals that did not introduce those activities in their hospitals, and in green are the hospitals that have introduced those activities. And what you can see here on the scale is the difference of healthcare-associated infections. So the prevalence at that time was something around 5%, and what you see here is the difference in proportions. So you can see in total, on the right-hand side, the hospitals without having infection control actually increased their proportions, increased their healthcare-associated infections by 18%, while the hospitals introducing infection control and establishing an infection control reduced their infections by 32%. When we go to the next slide, number 5, you see some data about CLABSI or CAPSI or CRBSI. Today we will talk mainly about CRBSI, catheter-related bloodstream infections, and sometimes about CLABSI, which are the central line-associated bloodstream infections. I assume you may be familiar with those abbreviations. Those are the data, the relatively recent data from the ECDC, the European Center for Disease Prevention and Control, ICU data, and you can see for several countries, such as Austria, Belgium, Spain, France, Italy, Luxembourg, Latvia, Portugal, and Slovakia. And you can see that the for CLABSI, the rate is about 3.2 infections per 1,000 catheter days, and for CRBSI, the related bloodstream infections, the number is somewhat lower, as can be expected, by 1.9. What's interesting here is that you have quite some variation among the countries, which is something that we would expect. Maybe you may have numbers in mind from the NHSN surveillance, and the NHSN surveillance at the moment are at about 2 CLABSI per 1,000 catheter days. When we go to the next slide, you can see the more recent data for INIC, the International Nosocomial Infection Control Consortium, which actually is nothing else than applying the NHSN strategy methodology on an international level, mainly in developing countries. And you can see that overall the numbers are somewhat higher. The overall numbers here in this publication have been reported as 6.8 per 1,000 catheter days. This just to give you an idea of what we are talking about today and what the numbers are. When we move forward, I would like to introduce you to one of the first, probably the first, multimodal intervention strategy to prevent catheter-associated bloodstream infections. It has been done in Geneva, and it was a multimodal intervention in the sense that it used different modes to train and to provide training to the healthcare workers, such as bedside training, using written material of standardized processes, introducing maximal salivary precautions, and so on. So when we go to the next slide, what did the group at that time in the intensive care unit of the hospital do? Well, it was in the 90s, and you can imagine that most hospitals at that time, they just had a way to do things. Those ways to do things were not necessarily based on evidence, and sometimes there were not even written internal guidelines. So what they did is actually to go through the whole process of catheter insertion and care, and they wrote down how do they do things, such as material preparation, positioning of patient, line insertion, dressing replacement, general handling, device removal, and hand hygiene. They did quite a substantial literature search at that time, and they replaced those ways or those procedures that were applied in the hospital by what they found in the literature. This is shown on slide number 9. So they replaced everything by evidence. And this was then their procedures and their best practice in the hospital. And then they used all modes of education and training to make this happen. And when we go to the slide number 10, you can see what was important in that study. And this is not written in the report in the Lancet, but I can tell you because I talked to those people involved. What's interesting in this project is that the initiative to do this project actually came from the ICU. Basically, it was one of the head physicians and a nurse. They suggested that they could do better, and they contacted infection control, and together they elaborated this detailed protocol I was referring before based on the literature, and together they started teaching on the ward, bedside teaching, how to insert CVCs and care for CVCs, and they established a surveillance. Of course, this activities were successful, as you can see on slide number 11, and for the microbiology documented bloodstream infections, which is more or less close of what we refer today as CLABSI, there was a reduction from 3.1 to 1.2 per 1,000 catheter days at that time. So again, what were the key factors probably for success? It was an initiative coming from the ICU. It was not imposed from somebody above or from some quality officer or from the CEO of the hospital, but the initiative was mostly grassroots, we would say today. There were key personnel involved, really intrinsically motivated healthcare workers. They made the whole study running, and they established written protocols which formed the base, the evidence-based, internal evidence base to be used for teaching and training. When we go to the next slide, number 13, you can see probably one of the most cited landmark studies in the field, the Pronovost study, which was published in the New England Journal of Medicine by the end of 2006. I looked it up today. It was cited up to date 1,124 times, which is quite substantial, high number of citations. So what is this study? Probably most of you are familiar with that study. You read that study. And basically what happens is when you ask people about those studies, they would say, oh yes, that's the Pronovost study. It's about the bundle, those five items, hand hygiene, using maximal sterile barrier precautions, skin antiseptic with chlorhexidine, avoiding femoral access, and removing catheters when not needed anymore. So this is the bundle. Okay, this study is about the bundle, and it is about the checklist. The checklist, you may remember, is the checklist that the nurse stands beside the physician and watches the physician inserting the catheter, and whenever the physician is doing an error, she would have to interfere according to the checklist and ask the physician to terminate the catheter insertion procedure. So this is what people have in mind when they think about this this project. But actually, what they think about then is more the intervention or the package of the intervention. It's about the bundle, and this is about the checklist. But they rarely think about of why is it that this project really was a success. So when we go to the next slide, the next slide, yes, shows you the success. It was a study in whole Michigan with more than 100 ICUs. Along the line, sometimes more, sometimes less. It depends a little bit whether we are talking about baseline and implementation. But overall, the CLABSI rate was reduced substantially from a relatively high baseline rate of 7.7 mean to 1.3 mean after implementing the strategy. But what was the strategy? Was it really just this the five item bundles and the checklist? Was it just enough to tell the ICU healthcare workers to use the bundle? going there and telling them, okay, from now on you use the bundle, and handing out the checklist to the nurse and telling, so from today on you watch the physician, and whenever he steps out of line, you interfere. So it's not that simple. It's not that easy. Of course it's not. And actually this is the whole theme of today's teleclass. It is interesting that Mary Dixon Woods, together with Peter Pronovost, published an interesting article in 2011, where in a ex post theory approach, tried to find out why is it that Michigan worked. Of course, there was a reason why they did that study, this qualitative study, and trying to explain Michigan, because after the Michigan project, there were many sub-projects in the whole world called Matching Michigan, and the idea was to use the Michigan approach to achieve the same reductions in eclampsy rates. And in the UK, in some of those projects, this was not a success. And this was a motivation to establish time and to invest time and establish this theory and this project to try to understand why is it that in Michigan, with all those ICUs, the project worked while it did not work in other countries. So the study, or the publication under the title Explaining Michigan, Developing an Ex Post Theory of Equality